Want to get into the Word? We're going to go to Psalm 92 tonight. We're going to start in Psalm 92, verse 12. And tonight, I'm going to be sharing on the verse from Psalm 92 about palm trees, about us being fat and flourishing like the palm. Okay? So this is a little bit about palm trees and a little bit about us and how we're similar. All right? So Psalm 92, verse 12, it says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." And that's us. We are righteous. So we're going to flourish like the palm tree. "He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." Okay, so that's what it says about the righteous. It says a bunch of things in here. One of the things that it talks about is how we're going to be fat and flourishing. And to be fat and flourishing means to be prosperous, to be healthy, to be strong, and to be successful, right? So when the Word of God calls you fat, that's a really good thing, right? That's something that we want to be. We want to be successful, healthy, and strong. And so I thought it would be kind of cool to look at this stuff tonight in light of, again, everything that's going on and us having to be sort of stuck at home and things like that, because these are verses that talk about all the stuff that the adversary wants to take away from us during this time, right? He doesn't want people to be healthy. He doesn't want people to be prosperous. He doesn't want people to be strong and to take a stand. And so we, as righteous of God, can be all of these things, just like a palm tree. So you can turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34, verse 3. Now, there are thousands of species of palm trees. Thousands. But the one most familiar to the land and times of the Bible would have been the date palm. The date palm. And I do have a nice little picture of a date palm here that we can share for you. Let's go screen share here. So this is a date palm. It's looks very much like palm trees that you guys have seen in the past, I'm sure, with its big fronds. Those big leaves are called fronds, not like Hans and Franz, but they're big leaves. And these little guys here, these yellow things hanging off of them, are bunches of dates. Dates, little fruit. Okay? And the date palm was essential to life in Middle Eastern countries during biblical times. And it's still a staple of the region today. Okay? So it was a very, very important tree to the people of that time. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 3, it says, "And the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar." And so if you look in multiple places in the Bible, the city of Jericho is known as the city of palms. And the reason was because that city was found along the banks of the Jordan River. So there was an abundance of palm trees in that area. And one of the things that's really cool about a palm tree is it can grow where nothing else really grows well. And if you go to Judges chapter 4... Judges chapter 4. We're going to read about a prophetess named Deborah. And there was something special about where Deborah lived. Judges chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time." So she was one of the judges of Israel. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. So she had her own palm tree. Isn't that nice? She had her own palm tree between Ramah and Bethel in the Mount of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So they came to her to get wisdom, to get guidance as a prophetess of God. And it says in verse 5 that she dwelt under a palm tree. And she had her own palm tree. It was the palm tree of Deborah, right? And it's really interesting. I'll share my screen again here. But the palm, the date palm, they typically grow to over 60 feet tall. So if you can see in this picture here the size of our little automobiles, and then the tops of these palm trees up at the top of the fronds there, they are many, many, many stories high. Okay, they're very tall trees. And so with Deborah sitting beneath her palm, everybody knew that was her palm in that area. And they knew where to find her. And it would be very easy to locate Deborah because of the size of the tree. So no matter where you were in the surrounding area, it's pretty easy to see the 60-foot object towering in the sky, right? They could be seen from quite a distance. And dates themselves, they look like this. And they're an excellent food source. They were a staple food source for the lands and times of the Bible. They provided fat and protein, vitamins, and minerals. So they were fairly well balanced nutritionally, giving both fat and proteins, vitamins, and minerals. People can survive on dates and water alone for extended periods of time. And this was especially important in some of the more desert and arid climates that are common to the lands and times of the Bible. Okay? So they provided a lot of nutrition. The other thing they have is high potassium levels. And high potassium levels aid in the preserving of a body's water level. Again, very critical in some of the more arid and desert spaces in the Middle East. So it allowed people to retain that water level and survive. Go to 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6. One more books to the right there. Verse 29. Verse 29. So remember, when we're considering all of these wonderful facts, that God compares the righteous to the palm, a flourishing palm. The palm was so important in verse 1 Kings 6:29, it says, "And he carved all the walls of the house round about," and this is speaking of Solomon's temple, "carved with figures of cherubims and palm trees and open flowers within and without." Verse 32, "Two doors of olive were of olive tree, and he carved upon them carvings of cherubims and palm trees and open flowers, and overlaid them with gold and spread gold upon the cherubims and upon the palm trees." And then in verse 35, it says, "And he carved thereon cherubims and palm trees and open flowers and carved them with gold fitted upon the carved work." So throughout Solomon's temple, the temple that he built for God, they had palm trees engraved in many of the different columns and doors and walls and ornate fixtures of the temple, because they were a symbol. They were a symbol of prosperity. They were a symbol of providing the way that God provided to his people. So not only do palms grow very tall, but you'll remember from that last picture with all the cars, they grow very straight. They grow straight up. They were a symbol to the people in the lands and times of the Bible of uprightness, in that they were heaven-facing. Okay, so sometimes you had a lot of different trees that, you know, split off in different directions or kind of twisted and turned as they grew up. And palm trees, they go or at least date palms, go straight up. And so when God compares us, the righteous, to a palm tree, It's partly because of our uprightness, right? Our standing fast for God and standing upright according to his word. So when God compares us to a palm tree, it's because of our stand on his word, that upright stand on God's word. Go to John chapter 12, the Gospel of John chapter 12, in verse 12. John 12, 12. So the righteous man is a man that stands upright before God, right? It's a man that stands heaven-facing towards God. He looks up to his Father above and not on things of the earth. And so God compares him to that palm tree. John 12, 12, it says, and this is the record of Christ entering Jerusalem. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. So palm leaves, which we call fronds, F-R-O-N-D-S, were brought and laid before Jesus upon his entry into Jerusalem. Now, the reason for that was because, again, in ancient times, they were used as symbols. And in this case, they're symbols of triumph, of joy, of celebration, and of strength. Even outside the lands of the Bible and the cultures of biblical cultures, they were waved before kings and conquerors on celebration days and on feasts. They were presented to the winners in the games in Greece and brought home to their families. So the palm frond was seen as a symbol of great triumph and great strength and great joy. And a palm frond is anywhere between 8 and 20 feet long. So again, I'll bring the picture back up there, but if you look at the picture of those cars, you can compare the length of some of these palm fronds up here to the length of some of these cars. They were, you know, they're huge, huge leaves, if you can call them leaves. And they're very, very strong. A single frond at the base of the tree could support up to 250 pounds. So this is a man collecting pollen out of a palm tree. And you can see that down here in his feet, he's literally standing on the bases of these palm fronds. So they're, you know, they've got the sort of structure to them of great limbs of regular oak trees and things like that. So the palm frond was seen as a great symbol of strength and triumph to the people. They're supportive and they're sheltering, okay? They're supportive and they're sheltering. And so, again, God compares the palm trees to the righteous, to us, right? And we're strong. We can be a shelter to people, right? We can take care of people. And that's another way that God sort of relates what these plants represented to those people, to us, to the righteous. Go to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 27. So you can imagine these guys that climbed up in those trees to get that fruit 60 feet off the ground. You know, that's pretty crazy. They would hang up there in those trees to harvest those dates. Exodus 15, verse 27. And this is speaking of the children of Israel on their exodus out of Egypt as part of their travels. It says, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. So there were 70 palm trees amongst these 12 wells of water in the wilderness. So the children of Israel camped near palms, and that's pretty much one of the only bits of foliage that would grow in these areas. I mentioned it before, but palm trees will grow where almost nothing else will grow. And so by these little sources of water that they would have out in the wilderness, you've seen the typical picture of a desert oasis, right? You have palm trees growing there where nothing else will really grow. Still not enough soil and water for most other plants, but palms are very resilient and they grow where nothing else can grow. And that's sort of, again, like the righteous, right? We as God's people, we're very resilient people because we have God behind us, right? We can deal with a lot of junk, you know, a lot of this stuff that's going on with COVID and everything else, because we've got God behind us. He helps us to grow and to prosper when, you know, we're in situations where everybody else would crumble or wouldn't be able to stand. And the root system on a palm involves many more roots, smaller roots, but many more of them than your typical oak tree. Okay? So this is what the root system of a palm tree looks like. So instead of having a handful of large trunk-like roots that spread out from the base, it almost has a network of tiny little fibrous roots. Okay? And what this does is it creates what they call a root ball. I don't have a picture of it, but when they transplant palm trees, there's a big ball at the bottom of them. And that root ball, because of the many fibers, is extremely heavy and dense. And so the result is a tree that's very difficult to uproot or to knock over. Okay? So when it comes to palm trees, they stand their ground. They're extremely difficult to uproot. So, just like the righteous, we stand firm on God's word. So when God compares us to a palm tree, he's reminding us that, hey, we're rooted, we're grounded. It's difficult to get us to waver or to fall, right? And palm trees don't grow with cylindrical rings like other trees, okay? Another special thing about a palm is it doesn't have these rings like you see on a typical tree, like an oak tree or something like that. So the picture on the right, you see all those rings and you can count how old a tree is by counting all the rings. A palm tree, palm species, they basically have trunks made up of bundles of cells in a wiry pattern. So for those who know their cabling and their wire, it's like a whole bunch of tiny little threads all together throughout the center of the trunk. And that makes them extremely flexible. They're very, very flexible. So a palm tree is capable of bending up to 50 degrees without snapping. So when high winds and other things come, they can basically bend with those winds and they won't break. They can take the buffeting of the wind and they just kind of bend over. And their fronds are extremely flexible as well. So those big leafy things you have at the top, when a great wind comes, they all fold up along the stem of that frond. So they all kind of collapse together and make almost like an aerodynamic shape rather than staying sort of fanned out and catching the wind like a sail, right? The wind blows around and through them rather than catching them like a sail. So the palm is able to stay strong and stay firm in really, really high winds because they're super tall and there's not much around them. They have to be able to stand up to it. And so they're equipped to weather that storm without bending or breaking. Okay? And that's another quality of a believer, right? The Word of God talks about in many places that tribulation will come to the believer. It doesn't promise that things will be easy or that they'll be simple all the time, right? There's many places in the Gospels and in the epistles that talk about tribulation is going to happen. It is going to come. But that God has equipped us to be able to deal with it. And so when God compares us to the palm, he's similarly equipped them to be able to weather that stuff. If the high winds come, the palm just kind of bends over and goes with the breeze. It doesn't break and snap and you know, essentially die. It's able to take the tribulation that comes its way. And it's designed to do that. So when it faces a great storm, it's flexible and it's equipped to weather it. And its overall appearance mirrors a righteous man, right? the low worldly parts that are close to the ground. They're sort of ugly and rough, the trunk. But the heavenly parts, they're full of fruit and beauty and strength. So when God compares his people again to the palm, it's because when their eyes are on him, when they're heavenly facing, it's beautiful and it's fruitful. So go back to Psalm 92, verse 12. That's a lot of facts about the palm tree itself. But we can see that God, in comparing us to the palm, is comparing us to all those great qualities. Psalm 92, 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Right? We're going to flourish like the palm tree. And the way that the palm tree flourishes is in the fruit that it produces, in the ability to grow where nothing else can grow, and the ability to weather a storm when tribulation comes. And those are the qualities that we have as righteous men and women of God. When we stand on the word, when we put God first, those are the qualities that we manifest in our own lives, right? We manifest fruit. We're able to be prosperous despite everything that's going on. We're able to stay healthy despite everything that's going on, right? We're able to be mentally strong and to serve and to give with everything else that's going on and weather that storm. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, which again is a very tall, massive tree. So we grow up just like a massive, tall tree. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Right? And so that's what our goal is to do. That's our objective, is to stay planted, to stay firm. Like a palm tree, we're difficult to uproot. If we make the Word of God a priority in our lives, then it's going to be difficult to take us out of that, right? It doesn't matter what comes our way. God's got our back. It's going to be difficult to uproot us. We'll still have fruit, right? The fruit of the Spirit are all kinds of great things. Among them is joy and peace. Two things that it's really, really valuable to have during a time like this, right? The biggest battle that we're going to face during this whole crisis, if you will, is the ability to stay mentally positive, to be able to remember and be thankful and be joyful about what we do have. Because it's easy to look at and to be reminded of all the things we don't. That's what the media is trying to tell us every single day, are all the things that we don't have, or all the things that we're now lacking or can't get a hold of or can't do, or things that are closed or this or that. Reminding us of all the people who are suffering. But we can be mindful and have peace and have joy in our lives as we remain rooted on God's word. Verse 13 again, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So as we remain planted, we will flourish. We will grow up and have great fruit. Verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, right? As they continue to stand on God's word, they continue to bring forth fruit, right? We can remember the first time we really made God and his word our own and how electric and how exhilarating that was, right? And how excited we were to go to fellowship and to be able to speak in tongues and to be able to tell people about God's word and that sort of zest that we had at learning all this new stuff. And here it talks about old age, right? Seasoned people, people who've been in the word for a while. And maybe some of that zest has kind of trailed off a bit, right? But the righteous will still bring forth fruit even in that old age, right? Because God hasn't changed, right? Just because we're seasoned in God's word or we've, you know, we have a great foundation and we're not learning all kinds of new things every second of every day, like when we first got in the Word, doesn't make it any less true, right? We still flourish, we still prosper as we put that Word on in our lives. And the end of the verse says, they shall be fat and flourishing. We'll be healthy, we'll be prosperous, we'll be peaceful, we'll be strong, and we won't let any of the stuff get to us, right? The tribulation that comes, it's going to come, But we continue to stand strong and to remain prosperous and to remain fast on God's word. And what's really neat about all three of those verses there is all three of them remind us and repeat to us that we will flourish, right? We will flourish. We'll be prosperous, bountiful, and awesome, right? Because we're righteous, because we stand on God's word and we keep him first in all that we do. So let's be like palm trees, right? Let's be strong. Let's be flexible. Let's be bountiful. Let's be heaven-facing and keep our eyes on God and stay rooted and grounded in his word.